Welcome back. My name is Jack Register, and I am the host of Finding the Zen Within Anger Management Podcast. Really glad that you're here today. I am a social worker, a coach, a therapist, but most of all, I'm a guy who has struggled with anger in my life and the consequences of it. This podcast grew out of the need to help other men figure out how we can live with, struggle with, and look at how anger impacts us in different ways. This podcast is not therapy. It's not meant to give therapeutic advice. If you find yourself really wanting to explore this further, we strongly recommend places like Open Path, Therapy Den, and Psychology Today as places where you can find qualified therapists to help you. If you're struggling with thoughts of harming yourself, thoughts of suicide, please call or dial the National Suicide Hotline at 988. You can find out more information about me at my website, jack-register.com. We're really glad you're here. Today's topic is going to talk about toxic anger and what that really looks like and how that shows up. We're going to start out by looking at some definitions. So from a psychoanalytic, which is a framework in psychology that really looks at how the past impacts the present, toxic anger is seen as a manifestation of unresolved conflicts or traumas from early childhood that have not been properly processed. This may be an oversimplification of anger as purely stemming from the past and unresolved issues without really considering the current environment. But what it really helps us to understand is that for many men, there are roots of our anger that go all the way back. Some of us have the ability to point to that clearly, and some of us do not. From another place within psychology, a perspective that many therapists use, which is called cognitive behavioral perspective, and this is where we focus on how the thought impacts the feeling, which impacts the action. Here, toxic anger arises from maladaptive thought patterns or catastrophizing or black and white thinking that actually escalate our emotions. The interesting thing here is that this, again, might not necessarily take into account all the things that bring about the anger to begin with and the social factors that are going on that may contribute to anger. From a biological perspective, toxic anger is viewed as a result of neurological and hormonal imbalances that heighten aggression. This may minimize the impact of the environment and the social factors that shape anger. From a social learning theory perspective, which is a way that we understand in psychology, how do folks become who they are? And in many cases, they become who they are by what happens to them and what they learn from that. Social learning says that toxic anger is learned through observation and imitation of aggressive behaviors modeled by significant people, particularly the older men in our lives. Again, this does not fully account for how all the other anger issues and situations that may arise in someone's life, but modeling is something that we find many children struggle with whenever they see adults acting out in anger and then expecting the child to act differently. An intersectional perspective, which is really the idea of taking multiple points of view and looking at them together, toxic anger is analyzed within the context of power dynamics, social identities, and systemic oppression that influence how anger is perceived and expressed. Here, what we're really talking about is the idea that because of who someone is and how they show up in the world, toxic anger may be a part of that because of all of the other ways in which they have to struggle just to survive. There are many marginalized identities in our culture within the Western idea of what it means to be male, what it means to be someone who feels feelings, and what it means to be someone who is struggling just to express themselves. A critique of this perspective is that it overlooks personal agency or the capacity to actually do something yourself and focuses exclusively on external factors, potentially undermining individual responsibility about managing anger. The thing about toxic anger and the reason why we call it toxic is because whatever's happening has grown to the point where the individual's life is dramatically influenced. I want to tell you a story for a minute. I grew up in a family of soldiers, military folks. folks who really followed the orders and did what they were supposed to, and consistently found themselves up against systems that wouldn't serve them whenever they needed them to. In my family, you didn't really question things, because you're supposed to be a good soldier. Anger was a way that many people I grew up around responded. That's a social learning theory, which means it was modeled for me that anger was appropriate. I found in my own becoming and in my own life, anger was a way for me to get my needs met whenever people weren't hearing me because of what was going on in my life. The problem is that it kept escalating, getting larger and larger to the point where anger for a long time was the only way I knew how to express myself in any sort of way at all. And so people around me who I wasn't trying to be angry with had a hard time just hearing me. The reason why we bring toxic anger to this dialogue, for all of you out there who are listening, is the idea that toxic anger becomes a weapon. The people who are closest to us pay the price for whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever the anger is really about, whether it's the boss at work, whether it's the bank account not having enough, whether it's the unexpected bill that showed up, whatever it is that becomes the straw for us that really just causes us to sit and say, I cannot handle anymore. Toxic anger is a way in which many men also find themselves then using things to cope, like substances or other situations that might actually cause even more problems than they had to begin with. So my friends, I bring this to you as a warning and as someone who's been there myself, learning how to really understand how toxic anger has shown up in my own life has given me the ability to work on the triggering events and the cascade of emotions so that when I find myself getting there, I can take lots of steps, bring in my support systems so that I don't lose what progress I have made. Toxic anger is only really one step away from rage, in my opinion and in my experience. And once rage shows up, all bets are off. It's really hard to control the outcome when we start raging. I always use the analogy with the folks that I am honored to work with of the Incredible Hulk. When the Hulk gets to that point, all we can do is smash. So I'll ask you this question. Do you really want to smash all of the people and relationships and the positive things in your life because right now you're furious? Do you want to destroy all the good things that you have created for yourself because you lost control over whatever it was in the moment? Is being right that important? Those are questions to ask. Now we're going to go a little further and we're going to start talking about some coping strategies whenever we find ourselves in these really awful situations and toxic anger has become a way in which things now show up. Mindfulness and meditation. Many people will talk about the idea of what mindfulness can bring, and this is simply the idea of being aware of what's going on in your body, aware of what's going on in your emotional self, what's going on in your head, and really just being aware. And taking the few minutes to actually breathe. Breathing between words causes us to actually stop the impulse to lash out. Learning how to meditate is a very difficult skill when anger is the way that you respond. Imagining the Hulk meditating means that the Hulk turns into Bruce Banner again. And so perhaps for many of us, it's one of the hardest and yet most effective ways in which we can respond. In psychology, we have this technique called cognitive restructuring. This is where we challenge the thinking of what's going on and the why behind the what. If I challenge why it is I'm so angry and say, my boss is a person like me, having a day like me, has things going on that they have to deal with that have nothing to do with me, and yet it's directly impacting me. So perhaps it was more about the delivery than it actually was about what actually happened. But using cognitive restructuring allows us to reframe or put a different perspective on the situation. And oftentimes, simply doing that causes the anger to de-escalate, going from about a level 10, maybe to a level 5 or 4, where we're angry about something, but we still have the capacity to work through it. My friends, physical exercise. When you don't know what else to do, get on a treadmill, go for a run, do something physical so that people don't become the objects or animals don't become the objects of your anger. Do something to get the energy out of your system. You may find yourself getting to a point where you go so hard you actually burst into tears. That says that the pain that's underneath of your anger is so big that it has to come out. And maybe this is where you need some support. Journaling. As much as it's hard for men to consider the idea of doing the Dear Diary thing, especially when you're someone of my age and you grew up with the idea that men don't do that. There are many ways now that you can use audio or you can dictate things into your phone, but finding a way to process. And what that really means is talking to yourself about your day, about your reactions, about the things that happened to you, and how you actually really feel about those. Because without that journaling exercise, you get stuck. And when you get stuck, you find it almost impossible to be able to understand the bigger picture of what's going on. Talking to friends, seeking out support. For many of us who were the lone wolves or the solo soldiers, as it were, the idea of connecting with other people sounds terrifying. It sounds like the one thing I could never imagine myself doing. But to be honest, if we really trust that there are people out there who really give a damn about us and will show up for us, we can actually find support and not get stuck in the insanity of our own feelings. I'll say that in my own recovery work, my social system was my lifeline. There have been many, many people in my life who have borne witness to the worst of the Hulk and still said, "I care about you. Let's do something with this." And because of people like that, I have been able to find a different way. I've been able to find a different dialogue to be able to be present. Assertiveness training. Assertiveness training is actually like learning a skill. The difference between being assertive and being aggressive is that assertiveness allows us to speak our truth without having to resort to using violence or force to be able to make our truth the truth for everyone around us. Assertiveness training can be really helpful for those who have histories of trauma, who've never actually had their voice honored. I went through a lot of assertiveness training in my training as a therapist because I was actually able to learn how do I communicate really difficult, big issues whenever I have a lot of emotion about them. One that I find that's really helpful that many men will actually kind of chuckle about, especially if you're one who actually serves as a dad right now, is a timeout. I've actually said to folks before, Jack needs to take a timeout. Because if I don't take a timeout, bad shit's going to happen. Timeouts are really where we impose upon ourselves, I am removing myself from this situation because I know that this situation is not beneficial to me. Giving ourselves permission to be our own parent allows for us not to get caught in the loops that we were in before. Having hobbies and being creative, doing something, working with wood, working in your garden, working on a car, doing something that is bringing you joy will also be an outlet to help you refocus when the anger gets to be too big. There's actually anger management classes where you can actually learn. There are coaches out there. I actually do anger management coaching. That's the whole point of all of this. And it's a way to learn some skills to specifically manage your anger more constructively. Learning about conflict resolution. This is a particular way in which we actually try and solve conflicts using methodologies and whatnot of how do we listen and how do we respond to the people around us so that we can make sure that we are doing things in a way that's actually useful. There's a really important thing here that I want to make sure that we cover today, and that's the idea about learning toxic anger through mirroring or modeling. Children often learn how to manage and express anger by observing older male figures. When these role models demonstrate toxic anger, such as explosive outbursts, avoidance of emotion, or controlling behaviors, or refusal to take accountability for their actions, it causes and it normalizes these responses. This mirroring process embeds certain anger patterns as acceptable or expected, shaping a child's own emotional regulation strategies. When we're told as boys, boys don't cry. When we're told as boys to muscle up and be men. When we're told as boys, boys don't do that. We get the message very clearly that however it is that we are actually feeling in that moment is not acceptable. Those toxic messages can get to the point where it actually causes us to actually potentially lose our life to suicide because we don't have the strategies to reach out. My friends, what we're really talking about is really creating that village so that every boy can go and see an elder and actually see an elder respond to a difficult situation in an appropriate way. We have to be the men we needed as boys. We have to be the fathers that we needed, that our fathers couldn't be because of their own experiences. I don't lay any responsibility at my ancestors' feet. My father is now gone. I don't lay responsibility at his feet either. They were doing the best they can with what they had. I now have to be the elder that I needed. I have to be the one who shows up for other men and for other boys so that they don't have to go through what I did. So here are some critiques around cultural norms about the idea of what it means to be the strong man. Strong man, anybody can be strong. Anybody can have positive self-esteem. But when we inflate that and turn it into something that's not okay, we actually create something that's really not helpful at all. We have to look at the idea that strong men actually are literate, that we can actually articulate our emotions beyond anger and use the entire palette of emotional response. Challenging traditional gender roles. I know that in our culture right now in the U.S., it is a huge dialogue about what is gender, what is not gender, and many people are really confused. So I'll be honest. I'll be really clear about this. How someone presents their gender is none of my damn business. What I know for me is that gender is something I have to struggle with because the type of man that I was taught to be was a man in a straitjacket, and that's not the man who I want to be. I'm not going to vacillate between being silent and being the Hulk. Educating on power dynamics, understanding that power plus anger equals violence. And that as men, oftentimes we are taught to externalize our anger. And when we do so, the women, the children, the people around us are then subjected to what our anger will do to them. We have to have spaces where men can come together and actually embrace this vulnerability and try and be different so that we can show up differently. Encouraging each other through peer supports. This means actually creating the spaces where we can look at each other and say, I get you, I see you, I have you. So as this episode comes to a close, I'll remind you, we're in this together. If you have thoughts of harming yourself, if you have thoughts of dying, please reach out to the National Suicide Hotline. It's a text message of 988. It actually helps. It really can. My name is Jack. My website is jack-register.com. I am an author, I'm a therapist, I'm a coach. The Finding Zen Within coaching program that I run is specifically designed for men to come together either one-on-one with me or in groups to work through anger and look at anger differently. I genuinely appreciate you being a part of the journey today, and I wish you well, my friends. Be at peace.